We're going to learn Daf Zayin and Masechtas Ketubos. We're going to start from the second line from the top of the Amid, on the top of Zayin Amid Aleph. So, the sugya that we're discussing over here, in the sugyas in the two Dafim before, we're discussing whether or not it's mutter for a chosan and a kala to live together for the first time on a Friday night. And the Gemara had a shaila, whether there was any malacha involved, maybe it's chaburi michbar, maybe it's mifkad pocket. And that was what the Gemara has been dealing with till now. So finally the Gemara is sort of getting down to, quote unquote, the Gemara's psak halacha. So the Gemara says as follows. Rav Ami Shara lemidl v'tchila b'shabes. Very simple. He said, yeah, it's mutter. It's not going to be a problem. So Amri le Rabbonon. Amr le Rabbonon. So Rabbonon say, v'holoi k'siva k'subasa. So the Gemara now asks a very technical question that has nothing to do with really the issue of the bia itself, which is really what we would have been much more focused on, which is, the problem is that in order for a chosan and kala to be able to live together, as we'll see, the Gemara is going to expand on this sugya, but not right now, but is that she has to have a ksuba. So if you get married on a Friday and then you meet Friday night, you can't write the ksuba. So for some reason, the Gemara kind of assumes that this ksuba is one of the last things that they do, and therefore there's no ksuba yet in place. So how is it mutter? Forget about the bia aspect of it. What about the technical issue about the fact that she does not have a ksuba? So Amar Lahu, so Rav Ami answered to the Rabbonon, at Fasua Metaltalin, not a problem. We can resolve that problem, at least the way Rashi learns, the way Shita Megubetzis explains Rashi, is that we can handle this issue on a short-term basis by giving her Metaltalin, because the whole issue is that we don't want the husband to feel like there's no shibud to him at all. So you give her metaltalin that she can hold on to that are hers. Either she actually gets the metaltalin to, or if you want to avoid the kinyan aspect of it, he sets aside metaltalin that she could take if anything ever happens. And then Matzah Shabbos right away. Matzah Shabbos, the way the Mefarshim explained Rashi, you'll write a ksuba. But in terms of the short term issue of the fact that she doesn't have the ksuba immediately readily available, you'll give her metaltalin that will add up to the ksuba. So therefore, it's not a ksuba issue. Rav Zvid Shara Lemidl B'Tchila B'Shabbos. Rav Zvid also said that it was mutter for the first time on a Shabbat, on a Friday night. Ikeda Amri, but there's another version to Rav Zvid's story, which is Rav Zvid Gufa Bol B'Tchila B'Shabbos. Rav Zvid himself, not only paskin for other people, but he did it himself. So now you have what we consider a, quote-unquote, a Maiser Rav. We see that the Amaroyim themselves did this act. So we see that that's clearly the way the Amaroyim held Lahalocha. Rabbi Yehuda Shara Lemidl B'Tchila B'Yontif. Now we're going to mix it up a little bit. Rabbi Yehuda says that it's mutter the first time on a Yontif night. But it sounds like, why is he saying Yontif versus Shabbos? So Amar Apapi, Mishmei Derava, in the name of Rabbi says, Loi Tema B'Yontif Deshari, Haba Shabbos Osir. Don't say that it's only, the reason why he said Yontif is because he only meant it for Yontif. Actually, but Shabbos would not be included and Shabbos would be also. Don't say that. Why? Duhu Adin Dafila B'Shabbos Nami Shari. He holds that really Shabbos is the same thing. There's no difference between Shabbos and Yontif for this purpose. And the reason why he said Yontif is because that's when he was asked the question, and that's what he answered. But it has nothing to do, it's not because there's a significant difference between Shabbos and Yontif in this point. Now that's Rapapi's version of the story. However, Rapapa Mishmei Derava, so it's Rapapi and Rapapa. Rapapa Mishmei Derava Omar, he says no, but Yontif Shari, but Shabbos also. He actually says no. The reason he says Yontif is because there is a difference between Shabbos and Yontif. So now the Gemara is going to go off and figure out what could possibly be the difference between Shabbos and Yontif. Because we know as a general matter, Malacha is Malacha. The only exception to the rule, again, I'm keeping it very simple right now, but the only exception to the rule is Eichel Nefesh, if you want to eat something. However, it's a little bit more expansive than that, so that's why the Gemara is going to make a difference. So I'm a Rav Papa, who wanted to say there's no difference. He says to Rav Papa, my Daitcho, what are you thinking? Why, what aspect of Yontif is different than Shabbos? There is a concept on Yontif called mitoich. Now, obviously, we know when it comes directly to eating oichel nefesh, we know for sure that's mutter. But there's also a concept of mitoich, which means that once this malacha is mutter in the context of cooking, we could use that. We could do that kind of malacha for not cooking as well. I'll give you the simplest example that we all know of. So, for example, you're allowed to not create fire, but you could transfer fire. Fire on Yontif for cooking. Therefore, that's what allows the wives to light candles Yontif night. If not for the fact So fine. So that's the concept of mitoich. So we want to say the same. We want to use that concept over here also, because we all know that shechita is mutter because that's directly related to eating, and that's a chaburu. Doing shechita on yontif is making a chaburu, but it's mutter because it's tzarech ha'echol nefesh. So we say the same way chaburu is mutter for shechita. So now chaburu is going to be mutter. It's a concept of mitoich. Once it's mutter, once it's in the spectrum of mutter, so then it's mutter out of the spectrum of echol nefesh as well. So the Gemara says, fine. So you want to use the concept of mitoich. Elameata mutter lasos mugmer b'yontif. So you're telling me that if you want to use the concept of mitoich, we should be able to use it all around for everything. So you should be allowed to do mugmer. Mugmer is what they used to do when they used to do laundry. So they used to take spices and smoke them up, and that used to make their garments smell good. They did it to other kalim as well. But the point is that it was used as a perfume to make things smell good, and it should be mutter. Why? The mitoich shehutra havara l'tzayich hutra nami shalay l'tzayich. So the same way you're allowed to light a fire and spice meat if you wanted to on Yom Tov, because that's directly related to eating, we should be able to spice our clothing also. We should be able to use the concept of mitoich. And we know for a fact that you're not allowed to do that. So Rav Papa is showing that we don't use the concept of mitoich. So Amar Lei, so Rav Papa answered, no. There's a big difference. Alecha Amakra, because on your example, the Pasuk says, Ach asher yoichol l'chol nefesh. The Pasuk says it has to be eating for everybody. And what do we understand from that? Davar hashava l'chol nefesh. It has to be something that is equal for everybody. So since everybody needs to eat, that's why it's mutter. But not everybody needs to have their clothing perfumed. Right? Most people, or a lot of people, don't rather not have their clothing perfumed. So it's not something that's equal for everybody. So it's not for everybody. So therefore, we don't use the concept of mitoich. In other words, what Rav Papa is saying is, the svara of mitoich, the concept is true. I do hold of the svara of mitoich. However, the mitoich has to be about something that works for everybody, not just for single individuals. So once again, Amar Lei, Rav Acha Berei de Rav Le Rav Ashi. So now Rav Acha says to Rav Ashi, Elameata Nizdaman Loi Tzvi Biyontif. So let's talk about certain cases. You're saying that it has to be for everybody. What if I get a deer on Yontif? So we know in general shechita is mutter, but now it should make a difference between what type of animals. Chicken and cows, maybe that's something that everybody has, but deer meat is not something that people regularly have. It's not really for everybody. Only people, you know, in special circumstances eat that. So it's not for everybody. It should be usur to shecht. And we know that there is no difference between shechting one animal versus another animal, and so we see that the svara of mitoich applies. It should apply. If you hold of the svara of mitoich, it should apply even in those cases where it doesn't apply equally to everybody. So Amar Lei, so Rav Ashi answered him like this: Ano davar hatzorich l'chol nefesh ka'amino. I'm talking about when I say that it has to be shava l'chol nefesh, it means it has to be equally as useful for everybody. Tzvi tzarech l'chol nefeshu. When it comes to deer meat, that is something which is just as good for everybody. Now, the reason why some people don't have it is because it's not available. Put it this way. If you went to a smorgasbord and there was deer meat there, you would eat it. Maybe you don't like the taste, but generally it's just as good for everybody. Mugmar is a concept which actually some people don't want. Because some people don't want their clothing smelling. Some people don't like that extra smell. Some people want it without it. So therefore, you cannot deer meat. The issue over there is not because it's not only used by certain people and not others because it's different for different people. It's just that it's just not available for most people. That's why most people don't use it. But Anachanami, the concept of mitoich basically boils down to, if everybody would use it equally, then the svar of mitoich applies. It applies to everybody. Everybody needs to eat. Whether it's this meat or that meat, they'll eat whatever is available to them. But not everybody needs to have mugmar. So therefore, mugmar doesn't get included in the concept of mitoich because it only would be useful. Again, that's a key word over here. Would only be useful for certain people and not for others. Some people just don't want it. It's not because it doesn't help them. It's an unnecessary, it's an extra luxury that some people want, some people don't want. In any event, what comes out from this is as follows. So you have a machlokes basically between Rav Papa and Rav Papi about whether or not we apply the concept of mitoich. But if you apply the concept of mitoich, that means there's a difference between Shabbos and Yontif. It could be that there are certain things that might be usur on Shabbos and are mutter on Yontif, even though they're really technically usur. However, because of the svara of mitoich, they become mutter on Yontif. But that's only a Yontif concept. So therefore, it would only be mutter on Yontif. It would not be mutter on Shabbos. However, if you hold that there's no such thing as mitoich, and you hold that it's mutter on yontif, it's not because of mitoich. That means you have to hold it's directly mutter on yontif. If it's not a malacha on yontif, it's not a malacha on Shabbos. So that's why Rav Papi, who does not hold of the svara of mitoich, holds that it's even mutter on Shabbos. Because everybody agrees it's mutter on yontif. The only question is, so why is it mutter? Is it mutter because of mitoich? Or is it mutter because I hold it's not a malacha? Rav Papi doesn't hold a mitoch, so he holds it's not a malacha, so therefore that's why his conclusion is it's mutter just as equally on Shabbos. Okay, so far everybody we've seen, all the mandiyamrim that we've seen so far have all said that it's mutter on Yontif for sure, and possibly mutter on Shabbos as well. So finally the Gemara changes and says, Amar Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, Hoyru Rabbi Yochanan B'Tzayadon. Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi tells the story that he heard that Rabbi Yochanan paskind in the city of Tzayadon, Osur Livo B'Tchil B'Shabbos. Now for the first time we're seeing that there is a shita that says, no, it is prohibited to start to live together for the first time on a Friday night. Fine. Now the Gemara once again gets sidetracked on a technical issue. Umiyika hayro le'isr. What do you mean he paskined? He had to get up and paskin that it's osur. What do you need a hayro for? Generally speaking, if you want to be machmir and not do something, you don't need a psak halacha. Anytime you're mesupik, you don't do something. If mesupik, maybe something's osur, so you don't do it. So why would you need a psak halacha that something is osur? You need generally a psak halacha to tell you that it's mutter. So the Gemara says, no, there are certain cases where you need a psak halacha to tell us it's osur. In Ba'atanan, we have a Mishnah where this concept applies. It says, Hoyro beis hilal shetehei nazira oid sheva shanim acheros. So what happened was, Hilni Amalka, her son went to war, and she was very nervous about his life, so she accepted upon herself that she would be a Nazira. But she lived in Egypt. And then, what happened was, she traveled to Eretz Yisrael. Now, we hold that Eretz Ha'amim is considered Tameh, at least for purposes of Nazirus. So when she came to Eretz Yisrael, that was the first time she came from Tumah to Tahiru. So the Rabbanan paskin that she had to do her Nazirus over again for another 7 years. So here we see a concept where they're paskining L'chumro. So we see there is a concept of paskining L'chumro. V'inami, I'll give you another teretz. And maybe over there, as the Mepharshim explained over there, maybe that was a unique case that they had to paskin because otherwise she wouldn't accept it. In other words, she doesn't have the concept of a suffix, so let's do it. So Inami, I'll give you another halacha that applies to everybody. Ki hadatanya, we learned in the Brisa as follows. Chut hashidra shenifsaka berubay. Divrei Rebbe, we're talking about over there what makes something a trefa. So we know that the vertebrae, the spine, has to be intact. So how broken does the vertebrae have to be in order to make the animal a trefa? So the first shita is, Rebbe shita is, that it has to be nifsak, it has to be broken. There has to be an interruption, a disconnect in the vertebrae completely. And Rebbe Yaakov, Merafilu Nikev, he says, now it doesn't have to be a complete detachment, even if there's a hole in the vertebrae, that already is enough to make it a trefa. And what happened over here? So we have a machlokes. Rabbi Yaakov is the machmir, and Hayre Rebbe, ki Rabbi Yaakov, and Rebbe paskins like Rabbi Yaakov. So once again, we see that he's paskining l'chumro. So we see there is a concept of sometimes paskining l'chumro. So over here also, Rabbi Yochanan possibly paskined l'chumro. So Amar Rav Huna, Ein halacha k'Rebbe Yaakov. And Rav Huna happens to say, by the way, even though Rebbe himself was machmir like Rebbe Yaakov, you should know, by the way, we don't paskin like that. We hold that it's only a trefa if there's a real break, and not if there's just a hole in one of the vertebrae. Fine. That's the first version to the story. Now the Gemara brings another version to the whole concept of Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok Masni Hachi, he learned the Mishnah, or it's not really a Mishnah, he learned the story as follows. Amar Abavua, Shaul Rabbi Shmuel ben Yaakov de Minsur. So Rabbi Shmuel, who happens to be from the city of Sur, asked Rabbi Yochanan b'Tzayadon, when he was in the city of Tzayadon, he asked him the following question. V'ana Shami, and I heard what he said, and he said like this, Ma livo b'tchila b'Shabbos. He asked Rabbi Yochanan, what would you say about living together the first time on Friday night? And he said it was Osir. In other words, he didn't get up in the Beis Medrash and Hoyro, he wanted to make it known, poskening that it's Osir. No, somebody asked him the question and he answered, I hold that it's Osir. So therefore, that's not really, that's not a problem to poskin. There's a difference between poskening, so to speak, writing it down and being mefarsim it, and when someone asks you a question, they don't know the answer and you answer the question to tell you that it's Osir. For sure, that's Osir. Anyway, Rabbi Yochanan clearly held that it was Osir for the first, to be together for the first time on a Friday night. However, Lamaskana, the Gemara says, Vehilchasa muta livo b'tchila b'shavis. The conclusion, finally, when after all the back and forth is, the Gemara holds that it is mutter for any number of reasons, either it's not a chabura, or it's a malach shenet zirchila gufa, or it's a daughter of shenet zkavet. Right, all the, there are a number of reasons why, what? Or it's possibly not a malacha. Right, if you hold it's not a chavura, so then it's not a malacha in the first place. And even if it's the, if it's the Pesach, you could say either it's a malacha shen tzricha legufa, or it's a davar shen miskaven. One of the two you could say, different mefarshim learn different ways. But either way, you can certainly, there are a lot of reasons why, in the conclusion of the Gemara, we hold, or, by the way, one last one which we didn't mention is, even if it is a chavura, it's a kilkul. It's a kilkul b'chabur, according to Rabbi Yehuda's mutter. So there's enough reasons where the Gemara says the conclusion is that it is going to be mutter. Okay. And the Gemara goes off on a completely new point. Amar Reb Chalba, Amar Reb Huna, Amar Reb Abba Bar Zavda, Amar Rav, all in the name of Rav. Achas Besula, this is a whole new sugya. Achas Besula v'achas Amana tu'una bracha. We all hold that whether it's an almana or a first marriage or a second marriage, for the girl anyway, that we're going to focus from the girl's perspective. So you need a bracha. Bracha over here, the chayra is we're talking about berachas chasanim. The pashtus is that we're talking about, certainly the pashtus is we're talking about all of the Shabba brachas. Okay, they definitely need the brachas. So the Gemara says, Umi Amar Rav Huna Hachi. Remember, included in this whole series of people that were quoting one another was Rav Huna. So did Rav Huna say that they need brachas? V'amar Rav Huna, almana ain't a tuna bracha. He says, one of the things he says is that she doesn't need bracha, which makes it sound like she doesn't need bracha at all. So the Gemara says, no, loy kasha, that's not a contradiction. Kan b'bracha shenosa almana, kan ba'almoin shenosa almana. It depends. Who's marrying? Now we're talking, again, from the girl's perspective, she's an almana. But who is she marrying? Is she marrying a guy for his first marriage? Or is she marrying a guy who's an almoin himself, is a widower, he's been married before? What we mean to say is, if it's an almoin, that it's, both of them have been married before, then the Gemara seems to be saying that Rav Huna would hold that they don't need any brachas, whatever. They don't need brachas whatsoever. So the Gemara says, one second. The Alman Shinosa Almana Loi? You're telling me that they don't need any brachas whatsoever, even by the chasana, they don't need Sheva brachas. V'amar Rav Nachman, Amar li Huna bar Nosan, Tana. Huna bar Nosan told me, Tana, we learned in a braisa, minayin lebirchas chasanam be'asara. How do we even know the whole concept that when you do Sheva brachas, you need 10 people, you need a minion there? Shenemar, and listen to the raya. The raya is, Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Vayikach asara anoshim mizikne ha'ir. This is talking about Bayez, when he wanted to marry Rus. He said he took 10 people of them, Zakenim. Vayomer shvu poi, and he said, sit over here. Vayeshvu, and they sat. Okay, so that's the pasuk. The point is, of course, the whole source of the concept of 10 people by Shabbat Brachas is from the story of Bayez. Now, what is the story of Boaz? Boaz Almon Shenosa Almona Have, and Boaz himself was somebody who had been married before. Rashi brings the raya that had been married before, marrying Rus, who we all know, of course, was married before, and that is the concept. That is the context in which we learn Shavu Brachos needs a minion, and here we're talking about Shavu Brachos. So we see that even an Almoin with an Almona needs at least some Shavu Brachos, because that was the whole story of Boaz. They were doing Shavu Brachos. So the Gemara says, you're right, you misunderstood. My ena tu'una bracha, the Amar Rav Huna. What did Rav Huna mean when he said she doesn't need Sheva brachas? What he meant was, ena tu'una bracha kol Shiva. You don't have to do the whole 7 days as we're accustomed to. You don't need 7 days of Sheva brachas. Aval yoimecha tu'una bracha. But one day you do need. One day you do need Sheva brachas. And that, so everybody agrees the minimum is one day by an almon marrying an almona. You need one day of Sheva brachas. Okay. Well, so right now, what we're saying is that you do, even an alman and almana do need a minimum of one day of Shavu Brachas. Oh, well, what? But we have another price, so we have another number over here that we have to work with. Because we learned earlier in the Masechta, Shaktu Chachamim al Takonas B'nais Yisrael, Shiei Sameach Ima Gimel Yomim. Says that when you marry an almona, and even if you want to talk about an almoin, it says that they should be together, they should have 3 days of simcha. So now, how do you work in the 3 days? We know 7 days applies to everybody else, 1 day applies to an almoin, so where does 3 days come in? But Mike, what are we talking about? Iba Bachar, if it's his first marriage, Amar Shiva. We said that you need 7 days. Iba Almoin, and if we're talking about it's his second marriage also, Ha'amrits Yoim Echad. We just finished saying that you only need 1 day. So, how does 3 days come into play here at all? So Iba is saying, but one answer could be as follows. Ba Almoin Yoim Echad Libracha. There's two concepts over here. There's Sheva Brachos, which Anachanami, we agree, is only 1 day of Sheva Brachos. For Shloisha the Simcha, and then you have 3 days of Simcha. What does 3 days of Simcha mean? Let's take the simple pshat based on what we learned earlier on Daf Gimel, which is, the simple pshat is that they should be together. They shouldn't be doing anything else other than being together for those 3 days. But you don't need Sheva Brachos necessarily during those 3 days. So we agree. 1 day of Sheva Brachos, 3 days of Simcha. V'iba Yisema. And another teretz is the bachar shiva lebracha. Enachanami, if an almana marries a bachar, meaning it's his first marriage, we do agree that you need 7 days of shavu brachas, like we said. However, v'shloishul the simcha, but you only need 3 days of simcha. So the 3 days concept has nothing to do with shavu brachas, which it's confusing if you don't think about it. The 3 days has nothing to do with shavu brachas. The 3 days is the concept of simcha. Then the question is, an almana only needs 1 day of Shavu Brachos, a bachar needs seven days of Shavu Brachos. So the way I explained it right now is according to some of the Rishonim that learn that this, even though we're using the words Ibai Yisema, the Gemara actually it's not a machloikas. It's two different akimtas. You could say it like an almana and you could say it's a bachar. There are those Rishonim that learn, actually, and many Rishonim who learn, that these Ibai Yisemas are actually arguing. And they hold that even if you hold an almana only needs 1 day of Shavu Brachos and 3 days of Simcha, a bachar would in fact need 7 days of Shavu Brachos, that we agree to, but also 7 days of Simcha. This Iba Yisema is a chiddush that says you only need 3 days of Simcha. So it's a machlekes rishonim, whether it's a machlekes in the Iba Yisemas or not. And it would make a nafkamina. The nafkamina would be whether an bachar marries an almana, whether he needs 7 days or only 3 days of Simcha. Okay? And now on the top of Zayin and Mabes. Meisvei. But the Gemara asks like this. It says, Mavarchin, this is another Brisa. It says, Mavarchin lebesula shiva. For a besula, she always gets 7 days. Ula almana yoim echot. And it says, an almana only gets 1 day. Now, my love, the Gemara says, what are we talking about? Afilu almana shenises lebacher. It seems like, because it makes a blanket statement, that an almana only gets 1 day, and that should apply even to a bacher. And even to a bracha, there should only be 1 day of Sheva Brachas, which contradicts what we've been saying till now, that needs 7 days of Sheva Brachas. So the Gemara says, Loi la almon, enachanami. The Braisa only meant, when an almana meant an almon, that's why there's only 1 day. Avala bachar mai. Oh, so then what would be the halacha if that's not what the Braisa is talking about? What would be the halacha if a bachar marries an almana? Sheva, he would need 7 days. So 1 second. So if that's true, ihachi listeni, so let's say that. Mavarchin lebasula shiva. It's true that an almana always gets 7 days. Ula almana, now when you're dealing with an almana, shenisus the bachar shiva. If she marries, the bachar hits his first time, so it's also 7 days. Ula almana yoim, ula almana yoim echad. Should say ula almoin. Ula almoin yoim echad. And when she marries a guy who's been married before, then that you always get 1 day. So why doesn't it say that if you're already making a distinction between a bachar and an almoin? So the Gemara answers, I'll tell you why we don't say it like that. Because milsa psikta katani. We only say those things that are definite. Once you start saying it depends, when the Bryce is not discussing the depends cases. The leka, and here is what's final. The leka basula depatsar mishiva. A basula, no matter who she marries, will always get 7 days. The leka almana depatsar miyamechad. And an almana will always at least get 1 day. Now, she might get more, depending on who she marries. But she'll for sure get 1 day. Because remember, we started off with the notion that we even thought Rav Huna was telling us that she gets 0 days. So that's why the Braisa has to make it clear. You definitely get one day. It could be that for his sake, now from her sake, from an almana's sake, she always get one day. For his sake, we might add on another 6 days because that's for him. But from her perspective, she will always get a minimum of one day as an almana. So there are three categories that comes out. A basula, basically this maskana of the Gemara really sums it up very simply. An almana, a basula, always gets 7 days no matter, regardless of who she marries. And an almana will depend. If she marries an almon, they'll have one day. If she marries a bachur, then the bachur himself needs 7 days, so then she'll get 7 days also. And then when it comes to simcha, that will depend on the two ibayis emus. The simcha of an almana is 3 days, okay, depending on whether it's a machlekes or it's one shita, but an almana will have at least 3 days of simcha. Okay, that takes us to the end of that sugya. Gufa, now the Gemara is going back into the brachas themselves. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Li Huna Bar Nosan Tana. Remember, we quoted this earlier on Amar Aleph. Minayin lebrachas chasana ba'asara. How do we know that you need 10 people when it comes to making Shabbat brachas? Meaning that we would not make all the brachas if you had less than 10 people. Shenemar, because the pasuk said, "Vayikach asara anoshim ziknei ha'ir vayayimishvu poi." So this is talking about, remember, by Boyaz and Rus, when he took Rus as a kala, he told 10 people to come and sit over here, sit together. So we see that we need 10. That's Rav Huna Bar Nosan's pshat. Rav Avua. So you have to remember the two, or as the Gemara refers to, is the Rav Nachman's pshat. This is Rav Nachman's pshat. Rav Avua Amar Mehacha. Rav Avua brings a different pasuk. This is a pasuk in Tehillim. It says, "Mamakelos Baruchu Elekim." Hashem mimakor Yisrael. When the Klal Yisrael was together and they gave a bracha to Hashem, mimakor Yisrael. From the makar. What's the makar? The makar is referring to the initial source of where we come from, which is the mitzvah of pru urevu. So we see the way Rav Avua understands this pasuk is saying, whenever we're dealing with the mitzvah of pru urevu, to get ready for the mitzvah of pru urevu, we make a bracha. And it says, v'makeheilois, we have to be in a kahal. A kahal is an eda, and an eda is 10 people. So therefore, you need a minimum of 10 people when you're giving the brachos for getting married. Fine. Now, Rav Nachman, b'hai krod de Rav Avua my darsh bei. So what does Rav Nachman do with this pasuk? Because he already has the other pasuk of Boyas. So Gemara answers me, Boya leila kizani. He learns this pasuk for a whole different reason. Because the time we learned in the Brisa, so, Hayir Rav Meir, Oymer Rav Meir taught us, Minayin Shafilu Ubrim Shabamei Imon Omru Shira Al Hayom. How do we know that even the babies inside, the pregnant women, the babies inside the stomach, said Shira when it came to the Kriyas Yamsuf, Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, V'makedus Baruch Hu Elekim, Hashem Imekor Yisrael. It says that when they were together, and this is talking about when Klal Yisrael was together, leaving Mitzrayim, they gave a bracha from the Makar. What does the makar mean? Mamish, literally from the makar, in the mother's stomach itself, the babies were saying shira. Okay, that's Rav Nachman's shot in the pasuk. V'iduch. And so how does Rav Avua deal with that other drasha? Im kain lema kra mi beten. Let the pasuk say what it literally was. Literally was the beten, from the stomach. That's where the babies were. My makar. Why does the pasuk use the word makar? Al iskei makar. I'm talking about the creation of the babies, not the babies themselves. So therefore, we're talking about the creation. It's not talking about kriyas yamsuf, but rather, it's talking about Pru Revu, and that's why Revu says the pasuk is talking about the mitzvah of Sheva Brachos. Okay, so that explains how Rav Nachman and Revu deal with Rav Avua's pasuk. What about the other way? What about the Boyaz pasuk? For Rav Avua b'hai krod Rav Nachman my darsh bei. So what does Rav Avua do with Rav Nachman's pasuk? Hahu mi boyle le midrash. He says we need that pasuk for a totally different reason. Amayni v'loy amaynis, mayavi v'loy mayavis. That when we're dealing with the psak halacha, the new halacha, that only the amayni guys are aser, and only the mayavi guys are aser, but not the girls. So that's why he needed a minion over there, and that's why he needed 10 people to be mefarsem that he was coming up with a new psak halacha. Because, and this is Rabbi Huwa's argument, the reason why he had 10 people over there was for the halachic aspect of it, not for the Sheva Brachas. Because if you think that this was necessary for Sheva Brachas, why did he dafka pick Zakenim? Zakenim, the elders and Klal Yisrael, the people who knew Torah, what is that relevant? You just need 10 regular people. Must be that it was really for the Psak Halacha, not for the Sheva Brachas. The Iduch. And Rav Nachman says, so how does Rav Nachman know it was for the Sheva Brachas? Isal Kedai Dech Lemidrash, because if the purpose was solely for the Psak Halacha, Loisagi Delav Asara, then why would you need 10? That's Rav Nachman's Rav Nachman's argument. What do you need 10 people? Just to paskin halacha. Since when do you need 10 people to paskin halacha? Imagine if every time you paskin the halacha, you needed 10 people. That's clearly not the case. So why did you need 10 people? Must be that it was because of the Sheva Brachas. So the Gemara answers, however, that's not true in the Versumei Milsa. That's not true. Over here, you needed 10 people, not because it was a regular halacha, because over here, you had to make it well known that this halacha was true. Ugdamale Shmuel Rav Chana Begdasa, like Shmuel told Rav Chana from the city of Baghdad, or because he was Baal HaGadois. In any event, he also said, Poik Vaisi Libi Asar, he said also, bring me 10 people. So bring me 10 people that is in order for me to paskin. So I can tell you in front of them, so that I can tell you that if you make a kinyan for a uber, but the baby hasn't even been born yet, that you're able to make a kinyan for him. Either because you hold the davar shalai by the oilam, you can make a kinyan, or because you can mazaka for azal shlichus. In any event, so, alright, however, that he said specifically that I need 10 people to paskin this halacha. The hilchasa hamazaka lober loikana. However, you should just know, even though Shmuel made a point of saying that you could, however, you should just know the halacha, we don't paskin like this. Loikana. So, next sugya. Tana Rabbanu, we learned like this. Mavarchim birchas chasana bebeis chasana. That you make the bracha, the sheva brachas. Over here it's the birchas chasanim, actually, as we'll see in a moment what bracha we're talking about. You make this bracha originally in the chasan's house when he first, I'll use the word, gets engaged. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, that's the next line. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, af beveis ha-erisin, mavarchim oisa. You make this bracha even in the beis erisin. So now, the interesting point is like this. Amar Abaye ubi Yehuda shanu. When Rabbi Yehuda said that they make the bracha in the base erisin, that already, we don't typically do this. We make the birchas chasanim under the chuppah by the chasana. So why did they make the bracha, birchas chasanim, which are sheva brachas, even by the, when they got engaged? Is because in the city of Yehuda, in the area of Yehuda, they used to get together, the Chassan and Kala lived together, Sheye Liba Gaspa, whatever, but they lived together even right immediately after they got engaged. So you can't live together without Sheva Brachas. So they used to do the Sheva Brachas right away. Tani Iduch, Mavarchim Birchas Chasanim Bebeis Chasanim. We learned that also you make the bracha when you're, by Beis Chasanim refers to the Chasana. Ubirchas Erusin Bebeis HaErusin. So, and you make your bracha of Erusin only when you get engaged. So, Birchas HaErusin Mai Mavarch. So what is Birchas HaErusin? So Rabin Barav Ado, Varav Barav Ado, Tarvayu, Mishmei de Rav Yehuda Amri. They both quote Rav Yehuda as saying like this. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. Asher kedishonu b'mitzvoisav, that Hashem was mekadesh us with mitzvos, v'tzivonu al ha'araya. So this is a very interesting lashon, v'tzivonu, whether it's referring to the darais or the rabbanu, but the pashto says we could say Hashem commanded us on arayas. Arayas are certainly a din darais. Again, that's one way to learn. The other way is you can make a v'tzivonu on mitzvos the rabbanu as well. Okay, but v'tzivonu al arayas, it made an usher for us to be together with arayas, but usher lonu es harusois. And arusais, engaged girls, are also to the rest of the world. In fact, it's also for the husband and the chasan and kala also until they have shavu brachas. The hitter lanu as an asuais, and but then it became mutter when they became married. Al yidei chuppah v'kiddushin. When we have a chuppah and a kiddushin, then it becomes mutter. So that's the bracha, which is close to the lashon that we say. And then the Gemara says, "Ravach b'rei de Rava Masayim ba," and he says we actually conclude the bracha mishmei de Rabbi Yehuda, also in the name of Rabbi Yehuda. Baruch Atah Hashem. We have an end the bracha as well. Mekadosh Yisrael, that we Yisrael become kadosh al yedei chupa v'kiddushin. Okay, that we have al yedei chupa v'kiddushin. So they have a beginning. It's a long bracha. Okay, now. So we see this in Machlokes about whether or not we have to conclude this bracha with the Baruch Atah Hashem. So Mandaloi Chosum, the Mandi Amar that says you don't have to conclude with the Baruch Atah Hashem. So Midi Dehavia Birchas Peiros. It's similar to Birchas Peiros. Now I'll explain in a moment. Ba Birchas Mitzvahs, and like Birchas Mitzvahs, that they just have one single bracha. They don't have, like Bar Priya 8, doesn't have an end bracha, just the first part of the bracha. Mandi Chosum, and the Mandi Amar that says you do finish, Midi Dehavia Akidusha, it's like like Kiddush. That by Kiddush also we start with the bracha, Baruch Hashem, right? Bekadesh Yisrael, and then we finish with the bracha. And we say Baruch Atah Hashem at the end as well. So it's a machlekes whether or not this is a two-part bracha or a one-part bracha. So this is actually a famous machlekes, Rashi Tosfos. What makes a bracha need a second half or not? So Rashi learns that there is, it's all one concept. So the way Rashi learns, it's the machlekes over here whether or not we're mixing in multiple concepts or not. In other words, the definition of a bracha arichta versus a bracha katsara depends on what's included in the bracha. If there's only one concept, if it's consistent concept throughout, then we don't need to conclude with a bracha. Once you mix in a second concept, then you have to finish with the second bracha. So the machlokes over here is whether or not this arusos and nesuos is one concept or two concepts, and that becomes the machlokes. That's the way Rashi learns. Tosfos, and we'll conclude with this. Tosfos says that it has to do with the size, the length of the bracha. It has nothing to do with the concepts per se that are in the bracha. Generally speaking, if you have more than one concept, it becomes a longer bracha. So once it becomes a longer bracha, then you have to finish Baruch Atah Hashem. So of course there are questions both on Rashi and Tosfos throughout Shas and different brachas, but that's generally the rule of thumb. According to Rashi, it depends on how many concepts. According to Tosfos, it depends on the size of what's considered a bracha arichta. One more line of the Gemara and then we'll stop. Tana Rabbanon, by the Tudas, Mevarchim Birchas Chasana Ba'asara, that this bracha that we make, like we said earlier, when we make Birchas Chasana, that also needs 10 people, Kol Shiva, the whole Sheva brachas. Meaning, you're not going to make Sheva brachas if you don't have a minion of 10 people. And then comes along this final line, Amar Rav Yehuda, the bottom line of Zayin and Beis, Vehu Shebo Panim Chadoshes. As long as you have somebody new that has not been there. So I'm going to say, the simple pshat is, that has not heard the Sheva brachas yet. So if it's his first time hearing the Sheva brachas, so that's the simple pshat of Panim Chadoshes, that you have somebody new who hasn't been there before, that's when you make Sheva brachas. So meaning, if you have the same people that have already been there the night before, so then, Anachanami, you wouldn't make Sheva brachas, because there's nothing new. Some of Farshim take it, it's not just the fact that whether or not they heard the Sheva brachas, they have to actually be add Simcha to the Chosen and the Kala. Okay, we'll stop over here, we'll pick up this next line in the Gemara, with Daf Ches, Amir Tzashah.